Chapter 2, let's begin by reading verses 1, 2, and 3. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness, and which with vain words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. All right, 2 Peter 2, verse 1. What is a false prophet? It says in the Old Testament, false prophet. What are they? Any hands on that one? Yes, for Crawford.
Anyone, I'll just bring it out because it's anything contrary.
All right, so the Old Testament, there are false prophets. Yeah, Bill.
Most of the preachers on Trinity Rochester.
They're false prophets. Yeah, pass it in.
Yeah, those televangelists, some of them are neo-charismatic.
Neo-charismatic. Televangelists.
They may sound good to some people. They may say some things that are good, that may be right, but for the most part, we have to be very cautious of them. There's preaching prosperity gospel. They're all smiling and so forth, and they have these big former basketball stadiums. You have to be careful. Don't be led astray by what they're saying, because you have to stay with what the Bible says. Mm-hmm. If you're not staying with the Bible says, you're never going to be wrong. Mm-hmm. And it's not the appeal good gospel.
Right.
They don't appeal good gospel.
Right, yeah. That's it. Go ahead, Barbara.
It's not coincidental that all these preachers use an aberrant version, aberrant version.
That's good. Now, what tense is the verb were, the third word in this verse? What tense? Yes, Barbara?
Past
tense. There were in the past, that's Old Testament prophets. Now, what tense is the next verse? Among them, false people, even as there shall be. What tense is that?
Future.
Shall be from what point in time? This was written in about 66 A.D. What would the future be of that? All right, from 66 A.D. all the way into the present. There shall be. Now, these are called false teachers. They were false prophets. What is a false teacher? Well, how would you distinguish that from a false prophet? Any hands on that? Yes, Barbara?
Well, a lot of the prophets, they all foretold, but many of them also foretold. So the prophets that were foretelling and foretelling weren't giving out the true word of God. We teach the word of God. There is no foretelling.
The false teachers today, the question then.
Yeah, ever since the canon of Scripture is enclosed, there were prophets. As a four functional prophets.
That's right.
The teachers, and again, as Bill mentioned in the fellow evangelists, many of them are false teachers. These wrong things.
When
these things are the contrary to the word of God.
Yes, ten.
And adding to that, they believe that there is an office of the prophets, and they prophesy things from the future to come. This is blah blah blah. This is what,
Yes. Mrs. Wade and I attend a huge conference as press reporters in what was it, Nevada, huh? What was it? Years ago.
Kansas City, Missouri.
And there were prophets right up there on the platform. They said this and this and this and this.
So-called prophets.
We don't believe they had anything to do. The voice, the office of the prophet is no longer in the church of today. Old Testament, yes. New Testament, no. Yvonne?
And they had a group of them that translated that interpreted it.
Yes. And what they interpret, who knows? Who knows what it is? Now, we're told that some of these tongues that speak certain things, we're told by some who understood the language that was being said, blasphemy, horrible, satanic stuff, filthy, swearing and cursing. Years ago I read that some people know the language, so that some of this is just nonsense. False teachers. Now, what, as Barbara said, what versions do every one of the false teachers today, almost all of them, use? What versions do they not use? Tammy?
The Gnostic versions.
Gnostic,
modern.
Gnostic critical text versions, most of them do. Now, there are some that use the King James Version. Give me some of the false teachers that use the King James Version today. Have I?
Christian Science.
Christian Science uses the King James. That's right, they're false. Yeah.
The Mormons.
The Mormons use the King James. They're false. So some of them use, but most of them are using those false versions of the critical Gnostic critical retext. So there will be false teachers among you. Now, who's the you referred to, do you think? Any hands on that? Hey, Barbara?
Believers.
Probably believers. He's writing to the those saved Jews that are saved now, among believers. Now, among Bible-believing Christians that are believing in most things, are some of the things that they teach false teachings? Yvonne, you had something to add?
Well, the first year was written to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Macedonia, Asia, and Bithynia.
And Second Peter is written to whom?
I don't know.
The same people.
Same people, probably the same people. Now, who knows? Among you. See, so that's among the Christians, among the believers. So there's some in the churches that are believers, they're saved. Can saved people teach false doctrines? Yes, they can. Yeah, but
Well, yeah, I'm saying there's a difference between deliberately, no deliberately set out to say something wrong. You know, in your heart, you know it's wrong.
What are you saying? Then you get the first part of your sentence.
And then, when you deliberately know something is wrong.
Yeah, then what?
And then you teach it anywhere.
All right.
Then you have those who may make a mistake. Well, like that to him to know what to do and do it not to him in a sense.
Right. Now, those that are saved, genuinely Christian people, what are some of the false teachings that they're making to us today in their churches? Saved, but teaching falsely. Barbara?
Five-point Calvinism.
The same people, but they believe falsely. What else? And Bill?
There are many teachers on television that say that God told me this to tell people. And they use specific language. And so it was a message delivered to them by God and it was expected to be delivered to the people.
Yes. Yes, Tammy.
Obey the
Lord,
then he's going to give you
wealth. Yes, great.
Or if you give this money to this ministry, then God's going to bless you
financially. That's a false teaching. It's not false teaching, not in Scripture. There are questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comment. Yeah, Bill.
Mike Murdoch is the worst offender.
What's his first name?
Mike
Murdoch, all right.
He is the worst offender. He's on three or four times a week on late night television. And he draws for about 2 hours, 2.5 hours. And the only topic that he talks about is giving to the ministry there. And then that particular ministry says nothing about where any of that money is supposed to go. It doesn't benefit any people. Only the people who actually run that program. They're the only ones that profit by it. And there's no message of salvation. There's no other message of relationship between believers. Give to the ministry, and God will give to you. That's their whole message.
Yes. I've read that some of these televangelists that offer, request money, live in million-dollar houses.
Sure.
Million-dollar houses. You know that it's filthy lucre they're after, so they get. What other doctrines are false teachings of people that are saved these days? What's some of that false teaching? Yes, Brother Crawford.
I'm saying that I don't want you probably from God. Whether they get on the air and they tell you that you're going to, you look forward to this to happen. It's possible you're going to get that promotion. You're going to get it. It's possible. All things are possible with God. But if you ask anything according to that will, some people will pass on tomorrow and never even see. But they say everybody in the audience, like they're speaking about, prosper and get that promotion.
So the lie is they say they're going to get prosper and promotion.
But
it's false teaching. not in Scripture.
If you will of the Lord, you will do it.
Right, not in Scripture. Not the false teachings that are here today in churches. Baptism of regeneration. What churches teach that false doctrine? Church of God, was it?
Catholicism.
Was it?
Catholicism.
Well, that's another type of thing. I guess they have a little, when you get that something, you do get saved, right? Three different ones teach again. Bill.
Church of Jesus Christ.
Church of Jesus Christ, Latter-day Saints?
No.
Church of Christ.
Oh, Church of Christ. Oh, yeah, Church of Christ. Yes, Barbara?
The Lutherans and the Methodists would believe that also because they practice infant baptism.
Infant baptism, that's right. Yes, Ryan.
Oh.
Ryan says, would you explain in detail and be very specific about what popped off the screen? Okay. I can't get it. Okay. I have to call it right again, Ryan, or give us a call and ask what you want. 856-261-9018. Ryan Spoke is calling it. So all these different doctrines that people teach, you say today and lost tomorrow, that's another one, all different kinds. Right? So the Bible futurely predicts, honestly and accurately, that there will be in the future false teachers among you, right among Christians, among professing Christians. False teachers. Yes, Barbara, you had something? Oh, yes.
No.
What's wrong?
The lady first.
Yeah, go ahead. Yes.
We can care.
Wheat and tares. Wheat and tares. Yes, yep.
I'm going to really show you, if you don't something, you just receive the Lord and get saved and everything is going to be all right. But then after that, it doesn't say what that step after that, what the Lord will for you to do, to the service for you, and the person, and then you will have to
submit yourself to the will of the Lord. But the false teaching is people say that if you do this, everything's going to be right. Is everything always right with all of us? No, we got all kinds of problems and difficulties. So, yes, Barbara, excuse me, Tammy, had something?
Well, I was thinking about feelings that you said.
Yes.
Sometimes they give healing claws,
don't they? Healing claws, right. Send you to pay us how much money they cost. Yeah, Bill, what about those claws?
There's another one that's on, I think he's only once a week on late night television. He has these little packets of Miracle Spring Water.
Miracle Spring Water.
He sends them to the people. Now this is, I forget the guy's name, but he was exposed by the Amazing Randy, who was a magician.
Mm-hmm.
And he went into the audience of this pastor, or this so-called pastor, mm-hmm. many years ago, and he found him using a microphone with people out in the audience communicating personal information so that Amazing Randy could say, well, this and this and this about that person there. Proven to be a fake. And this guy was off television for a lot of years, and now he's back with this Miracle Spring Water.
Interesting. So many, many false teachers among you there shall be. Notice who shall. What does that mean? Privately, private. What does that mean? Tammy?
Secretly.
Barbara? Yeah, it's secretly. You see, it's one thing to bring it openly, but secretly. The apostate heretical pastors in different churches in our country, whether Baptists or Presbyterians or whatever they are, Church of God, if they're apostate, do they always tell their apostasy openly?
No. They have these ministries where the church sends them out, Baptist ministry, OK5, the leaders of the church, they go into homes, as it says, of this sort of day, which are silly ladies, women, ladies down with all kinds.
But what I'm saying is, Brother Crawford, do the preachers that are apostates openly declare their apostasy in their churches?
Not all of them.
No, they do not. Yeah, Pastor Dan, and then Barbara.
Well, they don't identify their own teachers as apostasy quite often. They think it's right. True. So in some instances, they do declare their apostasy right up and running open.
In some cases, yes. Barbara, you have something?
If you deny Christ, you are none of his. Pat Robertson, in his book in the early 90s on the kingdom, and if I had it, I could open it to the pages on the left-hand side, halfway down, specifically states, and it's the only time he states, that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God.
That's heresy, isn't it? mercy. Now, you see, some of the churches, the modernistic churches, on Easter Sunday morning, with the apostates saved before all their people, Christ did not rise from the dead bodily. But he said, no, privately they bring in the heresies. They don't believe he rose bodily, but they never say it. So those poor people out there, they're so dumb and silly and don't know the Bible, they'll still stay in that terrible truth. Privately shall bring in what? In verse 1. What is a damnable heresy, you think? Any hands on that? What is a damnable heresy? Yeah, Bill and Cass.
A damnable heresy is a lie, especially against God.
All right. Yeah, Cass? Cass,
well,
and
then Tammy. It's a lie if you hell if you believe it.
Well, that's just damnable.
Yes. Yeah,
it's
a false teaching that
will convince someone else. This is serious. Now, I believe some of the damnable heresies, and we mentioned a little bit this morning in the message, but people that say, evangelists, raise your hand, and then you'll be saved. You know, without too much, they say a little bit more than that, but that's not going to save anyone. Also, those people that say, this special pat thing, now let Jesus come into your heart, but that's not the gospel. And some people, some of our people I know that used to come to our services, that's the way they were told they could be saved. But Jesus came in, I love Jesus come into my heart. No. You have to believe you're a sinner. Christ died for your sins. You must believe in the Lord Jesus and accept Him as your Savior. Nothing to do with getting to the heart. That's terrible. Bill.
I was told when I was a little kid, when I first went to a church, they said, are you saved? And I said, well, I don't know what that is. And then they said, well, we'll say this prayer, and then the Holy Spirit will enter your body. The Lord Jesus Christ will live within you from that point on. I didn't know any better.
Yeah.
But it really wasn't until I started coming here that I began to understand the difference between believing and just simply going through the motions of saying something like
that. Yes, that's right. Some of these pat things. Another thing, for instance, is when they say, come forward, you know, raise us to the meeting. Coming forward, all men are not saved. So, I went forward to Billy Graham, evangelistic command, I must be saved. Coming forward, we're not saved. You've got to understand the real gospel, damnable heresy. Yvonne?
Well, you can come forward, but you're saved if you accept the Christ and you're saved. Mm-hmm. You can raise your hand because you want people to know that you received.
That's true. All these things are true, but.
Right. Well, why?
Let's continue. Ryan, come on in. Come in, sit down, Ryan. Sit down here. Thank you for coming. It's true, honey. It's true, Vaughn. You mentioned something about come forward and be saved. Sometimes they are saved. If they
come forward to say that you have received.
Well, that's possible. Some people, by coming forward, they think that saves them. They don't get it. And just by the fact of coming forward, they think that somehow gets them ahead. Yes, Pastor Dan.
This is a complete question from Ryan.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Would you explain in detail, very specific about Strauss from CC, Strauss from Connecticut.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
What is it that he teaches, and what is it false about his teaching and congregation? I need to add, would you like, we know what is false about his teaching. Someone I know talks about him a lot.
I know someone what?
I know someone who talks to him a lot.
Okay.
Please be very specific in detail. Thank you very much. Very specific. I need to know this.
All right, thank you. For Brian's folk, we'll be glad to talk to him. If we can have some silence over there. Everybody quiet?
We're taking care of Big Reed Caroline.
Something happened?
He's just dehydrated or something.
I'm sorry about that.
So,
okay. All right, here's the explanation. Brother Ryan Spoke has asked the question, what exactly is wrong with some of the teachings of Dr. Strauss from Connecticut? Now, many teachers are right. We agree with it. He stands for the King James Bible. Stands for a lot of things we would agree. The thing we don't agree with him on, he says that his particular Baptist church is the body of Christ. And others agree exactly with him. They're in the body of Christ. The rest of us are simply in the family of God. That's heresy. no Baptist church can say the body of Christ. The church, which is his body, referred to many times in the book of Ephesians, book of Colossians, many other times. And it's all saved, born again Christians. That's the body of Christ. Not simply some Baptist church like Dr. Strauss's church up there in Connecticut, or some of his followers. He's got a lot of followers. He's written, he's got the, on the internet, and he's got various other things. So that's an answer to Brother Ryan. All right. Any other comments or questions on Dr. Strauss's? Yes, Brother Crawford?
Well, I can say, I'm going to back up a little bit. They have these programs, and they're so much younger.
They have what?
Well, these programs, a lot of them, yeah. They say, if you said this prayer, that you're saved.
Yes, but that's right.
But I've learned that, like in Psalm 51, and in the book of 1 John 1 on down to verse 10, and the Advocate, you must be conditioned. Your heart, you must go through a change. You just don't go there. Some lot of people are doing things, and they just won't stay at bad habits. And you just don't get on the air.
Yes, the answer is just simply praying to be saved. It's not going to save. They're not going to save.
Yeah,
that's
okay,
right. That's
okay. Yeah.
All right, so in 2 Peter chapter 2, damnable heresies. Now, what is the thing that's particularly damnable in verse number 1? Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comment. Glad to hear from you. What exactly is the deny? What's they deny in verse 1? What damnable heresy? Yes, pardon me.
The Lord that bought them.
Was it?
The Lord that bought them.
Well, that's right. The Lord that bought them. And who is the Lord that bought them? The Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. Now, it says they bought them. Now, this is referring to the false teachers, the false prophets. In what sense did the Lord Jesus Christ buy them? In what sense? Any hands on that? Cash.
Buy yourself,
all right. He died for the sins of the whole world, right? Now, the hyper-Calvinists don't agree with that. But he died for the sins of the whole world, even the ones that crucified the Lord. He died for them. Even these false teachers and false prophets, he died for them also.
And so, Peter, I mean, he makes an interesting point here. As far as he's talking about denying the Lord that bought them, and he has his own experience with that, not to pick on Peter per se, mm-hmm. Peter himself has been known to deny the Lord that bought him.
And that's
he
right.
Before the, before
that's
the
where he got right with the Lord, that's right.
But they're denying the fact of what the efficacy, the work of the cross.
Work of the cross.
And they're denying the fact of what happened to the cross, mm-hmm. because the efficacy is going to be good enough for salvation.
Right. So what is the effect of denying the Lord that bought them in verse number 1? What will happen? What does it say? Yeah, Kathy.
Go to hell.
Go to hell, that's one thing, denying the Lord. What else is in verse number 1? Yes, Barbara.
They bring on themselves swift destruction.
Swift destruction. What is destruction? How would you define destruction? What type of destruction do you think is mentioned here? What kind of destruction? 2 Peter 2, verse 1. Yvonne?
Well, when people are knocking down buildings,
they're destroyed. Pastor Dan.
Well, anyone that denies the cross, denies when Christ stepped into the cross, they're heading for destruction.
Their
own life is going to be ruined. They're going to be for eternal destruction. Their own life. They want to say that the universe came into by a big bang, or by mm-hmm. being seeded by aliens, or by whatever reason they're going to give. And so even before they get to this, the point of having to deal with what Christ has done for them on the cross, if you deny that, the result is destruction. Only right. One way to heaven.
Right.
Christ.
Through Christ.
If you deny Christ, destruction.
Barbara?
Picking up on what Mrs. Waite said, the idea that came to me was implosion. Because they bring upon themselves with
destruction,
so they don't explode.
Yeah. Explode, that's good. Now, this says swift destruction. That's referring to hell. Describe what the Bible teaches about hell. What is it like? These people that are not Christ. Okay, Brother Prophet, and then Barbara.
I'm like a place of
outer darkness. Outer darkness is one thing of it. Barbara?
Eternal.
It's eternal. What else? Yeah, cats. Fire's there. Yes, Pastor Dan.
Worm never dies.
Worm never dies. Barbara? Oh, yes. It's fire, eternal fire. And it's painful, and it's horrendous, it's eternal. That's very good.
Torment,
eternal torment, that's exactly right. That's, do some Bible-believing Christians, at least they claim to be, believe there's any fire in hell? Do some deny the fire?
Yes.
Yes. Billy Graham, 1950s, denied that there was real fire in hell. He's one of them. And, of course, another person has wrote many things on the Internet. He's written also that this was a confession then.
Yeah, they thirst.
So they thirst also in hell.
See, there's great thirst with the
absolute
thirst.
Rich man and Lazarus. That's right. Barbara?
There's outer darkness. It's not just darkness. It's outer darkness.
Outer darkness.
And there's time in hell.
There's time. All right, that's good. Yeah. But Crawford?
There's also, and the people get torment ascended up to heaven forever and ever, and they have no rest, neither day.
Good, no rest, neither day. So that's what's going to happen to these people, outer sorts of. Then in verse number 2, what is true about these false teachers? What is true about them? Questions at vftbc.org, 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comment. Pastor Dan?
They get a following, just like they got a following then, but yes. Many people today, many people today in with this neo-charismatic televangelists and even non-televangelists, they get a following. People will follow their wrong teachings, the wrong way, where they deny the very important fundamental doctrine about the death, burial, resurrection of Christ, and then they get superstructured upon them. But yet they are able to convince other people to follow in their path, their way.
Ron? This is you? Oh, Tammy. Or Barbara.
It's many, which means the majority.
Majority, absolutely. Now, in the churches in the United States and around the world, is it a majority that sounds sane and biblical, or the minority?
The
minority. And the majority, what about them? Majority of the churches.
They follow their pernicious ways.
Pernicious ways, and they're false. And the doctor, the pastors that are there, is it getting better or worse in regard to that?
It's getting worse.
Getting worse. Yeah. Getting worse. What about the seminaries of bygone years? 10, 15, 20, 100 years, 200 years ago. What are they like? What were they like? And what are they today? What's the kind of? Yeah, Barbara?
Well, Princeton itself was a bastion of conservatism at Harvard and Yale. They were all found Columbia, which was originally King.
That's right. So, but now it's just wasting away, drifting. It's a sad situation, a time for the Lord's return, yes? And many, now what does pernicious mean? And just one hand, that's all? Barbara?
Pernicious waste is utter destruction.
But for pernicious itself, what would that mean? Don?
It says, destructive, hurtful, rare, wicked.
Destructive and hurtful, yes, that's it. That's so pernicious. Now notice the last part of that last phrase. By reason of whom? Who's the whom referring to? Verse number 2. 2 Peter 2, verse 2. Yes, Barbara?
The false prophets are the false teachers.
By reason of these false teachers, by reason of whom, what will occur because of these people, the false teachers? In verse number 2. Just one hand here, brother.
Have you given the seducing spirit?
Oh, no, but in verse number 2, what does verse number 2 say? 2 Peter 2, 2. Now, Barbara.
The way of truth shall be evil spoken of.
The way of truth. Evil spoken. What is the way of truth? Barbara?
John 14, 6. I'm the way, the truth.
Yes, and what is the way of truth? In addition to that, that's true. In addition, what is the way of truth? Yes.
The Holy Scriptures.
Holy Scriptures. That's the Bible. That's the way of truth. And by way of the way of truth, what does it mean to be evil spoken of? What does it mean? Yeah, Tammy?
Evil, criticize, condemn, rebuke, reproach.
All those things. Clever?
Lack of good.
Lack of good. Evil. So, in other words, those people who are Bible-believing Christians, those pastors that are not false teachers, but pastors of the truth of the Bible, the modernist, apostate, liberals, and heretics speak evil of those fundamental Bible-believing pastors. They think they're crazy, they're kooks, and they ought to be driven out of town, see? It's a terrible thing. Yes.
Today, I think it's getting worse and worse. If you're for good, then people think you're crazy.
Yes.
It's completely opposite, like a certain
scripture that evil will be good and good will be evil.
Right,
that's where we are today.
Exactly. And not only will the people that follow the truth, the way of truth, even the things that are in the way of truth, evil spoke. What are some of the things, morality things, moral, sound morals today that are being evil spoken of? What are sound biblical morals now being evil spoken of? Yes?
Yes.
You're good. Yes.
To not have homosexuality.
All right.
They think that it's good.
That's right. And if we speak against it, which is biblical, that we're evil spoken. Right. Yeah, and then cast that one.
There are more couples living together than are married, and the marriage rate is over 50% divorce rate.
People are married, just shacking up together, unmarried.
The worst part is that people are now accepting it, and it doesn't mean anything to anybody.
Yes.
So it's so prevalent, you're just accepting.
Yes.
It's going more and more doing the same thing.
What other false thing, untruth, the soldiers spoke of that we have mentioned? Yes, the good.
Men and women marrying one another. Women marrying women and
lesbianism, homosexuality. Yes, yeah. Very bad. Anything else?
Abortion.
Is the Bible for abortion? What is one of the commandments? Thou shalt not
kill.
Is abortion killing?
Yeah.
Who's it killing?
Children.
Your baby. And when does a baby have life?
At conception.
At conception. And so you see, you kill that baby. And that, when we against abortion, we're slandered. They hate us. They despise us. There's other things we just want the truth. This march with 22 countries, 22 cities, I should say, in this country, yesterday, Saturday, against the Sharia law. And is the Sharia law way of truth?
No.
No, all sorts of evil. And these people have protested it. And the pro-Sharia people, they had contrary protests as well yesterday. So it's a sad thing. It's coming through. Way of truth is being spoken against. Yes.
They have one thing that I had to walk out of that program, the horoscopes.
Yes.
This, you will be this way today.
Right.
You will be, and when you speak against that, they look at you like you're wrong.
That's
for telling you the way the Bible
That's right. Believe in horoscopes. That's wrong. You speak against it. You're an evil spoken. Yes, Barbara.
They have Christian astrology now. I haven't figured that one out yet, but they have it, and that's what they call it.
Huh. How about witchcraft?
Okay.
They're all over the place.
Yes,
what does God say about it? Is he for or against it?
Yes,
he's against it.
Yes,
do you know that Hillary is one of the Coven, witch Coven? You know she's in a witch Coven. It's in the off broadcast all over.
I don't know.
Nobody knows about it. It's kept real quiet, but she's in a witch Coven.
We knew that back in the 90s.
What's that?
We knew that back in the
90s. Back in the 90s. Damn it.
From Michael and Sharon Hayward in Alaska, I guess.
Oh, Brother Michael Sharon in Alaska.
Matthew 23:15. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell.
Good, that's good. That's way to the Crawfords there in Alaska, way up in
Hayward.
Hayward's in Alaska. Thank you very much for write us again. Give us a call or comment. Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-908. All right, so we're going to verse number 2. And then we'll go verse number 3. What is covetousness? And he hands us one hand. All right, Barbara?
Greedy desire to have more.
Greedy desire to have more. Now, Pastor Dan.
Wanting something that belongs to somebody else.
Wanting something that belongs to somebody else. If somebody has a red Cadillac, you covet the red Cadillac. You want the same type of a color, same type of a car. That's a covetousness. Some have defined it as the itch for more. The itch for more. Now, let me ask you this. Is wanting to have a better promotion in your job and a higher rate of pay, for example, but wanting to be promoted or have a good job, is that necessarily covetousness?
No.
A lot of people work hard. If they work hard, they should be promoted. Many people are promoted. But in other words, you don't necessarily desire earnestly in a wrong way to do that, but just like a person in the military who begins with a private, he wants to be a corporal. one step up, or a sergeant, or a staff sergeant. He wants to be, if he works hard, he can be that. He wants to try to work hard to build up, but is that necessarily covetousness? No, it's working your way up, which is a biblical right. So covetousness, through covetousness, what's going to happen here? Now, what's it say through that? Yes, one hand, just one hand? Yeah, Barbara.
They would think words make merchandise.
All right, they make merchandise of these believers through fame. Words. What does fame mean? Just one hand. Oh, Tammy, and then Barbara.
Made up.
Yeah, Barbara?
Plastic because it's easily malleable.
Malleable. And let's see who got this. We're just here for Jacob from Texas. Here, this way. Oh, boy. Ryan, call us again. I messed up. I'm sorry. Call us again.
Can you try a phone call?
Push the wrong button. Why am I? Let me try it again. I pushed the wrong button. There it is. See if he's there. Yeah, go ahead, Ryan. I missed the wrong button. What do you got? Go ahead. Ryan, slow.
You know how people talk about grace now? Like, what they talked about in Romans 6:1?
Yes.
What they teach that, a lot of times, is because we have grace, we can go back and be our old selves. And it talks about also in 1 John 3, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not, and whosoever sinneth hath not seen him. What that exactly means is, we're still going to sin. But the thing is, we should be convicted by that sin and be hurt by that sin and not keep committing that sin. So
right.
When people say, whosoever sinned is that have not seen him, and whosoever abided in him sinned not, yes, we're going to sin. But the thing is, we should be convicted by that sin and hurt by that sin. And want to get that out of our lives. That's what that means.
Yes, okay.
And then the thing is about fellowship, there's a difference between fellowship and the relationship too. When we keep sinning and we don't. That's our faith. We're going to fall out of fellowship with God. But the thing is, we're still going to have that relationship. We're still going to be saved. And we're going to be eternally saved. But we're going to fall out of fellowship and fall further away from God if we don't confess our faith.
That's right. Well, thank you, Ryan. Appreciate this. Wave to Ryan Swoop. Wave to Ryan Swoop. Forget where he's from. Do you remember? Where is it?
Langham,
Pennsylvania. Okay, good to see you. All right, thank you for calling. Now we're in chapter 2 of 2 Peter, verse number feigned words. Why do you think these apostate liberals use feigned words? Why do you think it's so popular? Yeah, Brother Crawford? And
deceive,
yes. Barbara?
Well, if they're coming in secretly, they have to make words say what they don't mean.
All right, so there's pretense, a lot of pretense to falsify people. For instance, if you advertise something on the television at the price of $100, and then you go there and it's $150, I mean, this is false. It's feigned words, false advertising. Let's see what we got here. Let's see if it is Jacob from Texas. Got it wrong. Okay. Yes. Jacob. Hi, Jacob from Texas. Go right ahead. Jacob Romer.
We just called to say hello. That's about it. There's so many false teachings, it's kind of impossible to cover them all. I think there's two. There's that one out in the Bible, the blue one, and all the rest.
Well, good. That's Wade or Jacob and Dale Romer in Texas. Okay, Jacob, thanks very much for calling. Appreciate that. So, then the feigned words make merchandise of you. Who's the you refer to, do you think? Yes, pardon?
The believer.
Genuinely true Christians. What does it mean to make merchandise of someone? Any hands on that? Yes, for the profit?
I mean, to make profit.
All right, profit.
Gain or to use.
Some gain or to use, that's right. And with feigned words, merchandise. In other words, you sell people like garbage or something. Sell them just like garbage. Make merchandise just so they can make some profit about it. What about the next part of verse 3? What about the future of those that the feigned words make merchandise of? What's going to happen to them? What's God say is going to happen? They're going to be judged, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not. What does linger mean? Close linger. Any hands out? Yes, Barbara?
You hang around something dull.
To hang on a little bit, just linger. So in other words, it doesn't take long. It's going to come. Because I'm lingering for a while. It doesn't stop very long here.
Well, you know, like some of us, God will help us. We may go back and go back and forth. But God will bring it out of us.
But yeah.
Some of us, we go swift. There's swift judgment. We just go straight into
that's right.
Judgment.
It doesn't take long. It's going to come. Then there's not, or slumber of night. What's the difference between linger and slumber? Any hands on that one? Yeah, Barbara?
Slumber, sleep.
Sleeping. That's done sleep. It's on a cotton. All right, let's go to verses 4, 5, and 6. Read those verses together. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reversed into judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. All right, in verse 4, God spared not the angels. What does spared not mean? Any hands on that?
He did not excuse that.
Yeah, Barbara? Okay. Didn't spare, didn't excuse. The angels that sinned, what were those angels? Anyone have that? Hands on that one? The angels that sinned. All right, Barbara?
The angels that went down to follow Lucifer.
Okay. And why did Lucifer sin, and how did Lucifer sin? Hey, Barbara?
In his heart, he said, I will become like the Most High.
We'll be like the Most High God. Remember in Isaiah chapter 14. So he sinned, and the angels, did some angels follow Satan?
Yeah.
Yes, they did. The angels that sinned. And what did God do in verse 4 to the angels, this fallen angels? Yes, Barbara?
He cast them down to Tartarus.
To the Tartarus or hell, and delivered them to what? Change of darkness, reserved unto what? So they will have judgment on the earth. They will have judgment.
They're doomed.
Yes. So God's judgment on sin was Old Testament, and before the Old Testament even, in the eternity past, God had judgment against sin. Then in verse number 5, he spared not. What does that mean? Spared not. Any hands on that? Spared not. The test.
He
did not let it go.
He did not fought.
Yeah, the old world. What old world is he referring to there? Barbara?
The world, the original world, the world before the flood.
All right, the world before the flood. He did not spare it. Why did God not spare it? What did the old world do? What did God think about the old world before the flood? Pastor Dan and Cass.
Yeah, they,
and then Barbara.
They were denying what was about them. They were going their own way. They wanted nothing to do with God's ways. They wanted to do their own ways.
Mm-hmm. And Cass?
Well, similar to that.
Oh.
The world was full of sin.
Few people. Yes, Barbara?
The imaginations of their heart were evil continually.
Evil continually. So the old world, he didn't spare the old world. But who did he save? Who did he spare? Yes, the cat of faith. Noah and his family. Now, when the ark was being built, roughly some of the people believe about how many years was it in building? It's not clear scripture, but some reference to Tammy and then Barbara.
About 100 years.
About 100 years. 120. About 120 years. It says 120 years, something like that. And we don't know, but it seems like that might be the number of years in building of the ark. Now, do you think that Noah, after he was building the ark, what did people think of that building?
They mocked him.
Yeah. They were calling you, see, because they mocked him. Now, what would they say? You're passing in.
Yeah, there was a 100-plus time period of time descriptions of Noah's preacher of righteousness.
Uh-huh. That's right.
Not only was he building his ark, but they didn't like the righteousness of righteousness either.
Mm-hmm.
They rejected the physical deliverance in the ark, and rejected the spiritual deliverance. Well, listen to what Noah had to say.
Was this ark a little tiny boat?
No.
Huge. Now, why was he building the ark? Put your hands on that. Barbara? Folks, for faith first.
Because God told him to.
Okay, well, why did they got to tell his brother?
To save the animals and himself and his family.
Why did they put it for the
brother? It was to preserve seed.
That's true.
He might have to multiply.
Oh, that's true. You have a test?
Well, all that, and he wanted to destroy the world as it was.
Well, but why build the ark? Everyone's there, everyone's happy. Why build this ark?
Well, he had to save us to the ark.
Mm-hmm. How to save what? It's no problem to build.
For the flood, the rain. Ah,
the flood.
Come, and the water that would come up out of the ground would flood the whole world.
The
ark has become a picture of the Lord
Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. That's true. Now, why would somebody build an ark in the flood? What did the people think about Noah for building a big, huge boat? Bill?
The people had never seen rain before.
That's it.
And they had never seen that, the kind of calamity that was about to happen. So they thought Noah was crazy.
What did God tell Noah before the cause of the building? What did he tell them?
He just told them to build the ark.
But what did he tell them? Why did you jump? Why build you? Hey, Barbara?
Being warned of God of things not seen as yet.
That's right, and he told it's going to rain. So, did Noah believe it's going to rain?
Yeah.
Not only that, but it's going to be so there. But all the people around him didn't believe it, but Noah believed God. Yeah. We've got to believe God too. His word is true, we never should doubt it.
Amen.
That's it then.
In Genesis 6:8, but Noah finds grace in the eyes of the Lord. By grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's why he was able to communicate with God and have the instructions given to build the ark.
That's good. So, an old world saved Noah, the eighth person. What was he doing? What was the title that was given to him in verse number 5? What was the title? Hey, Barbara?
Preacher of Righteousness.
A preacher of righteousness. What would that mean? What would that mean, a preacher of righteousness?
Told the truth.
What's that?
Told the truth for 40 years.
Told the truth for all those years?
Until God's will.
And righteousness, righteous, the things that God calls righteousness, and you're a preacher of that. And what happened in the last part of verse 5 at the end of Noah's preaching? Yes, Cass, and then Barbara.
Flood came,
Barbara. Flood came. On whom did the flood come? That's a big question today in theological circles. Hey, Barbara, and then Brother Crawford, and then Katz.
Well, it came upon the world of the ungodly, which would have been everybody that wasn't in the ark.
Okay, and Katz?
Well, it was the whole world. Some people say it's like just part of the world.
All right.
It's the whole world.
That's exactly right, Brother Crawford.
It was upon everything that Jesus upon the earth and saved himself with Noah. And it ate souls and his wife.
That's right. So it's a universal flood. Even Bible believing Christians falsely teach it just as a little tiny universal flood. Well, you know, it came high, it says a number of feet upon the earth. And some of the mountains of it covered the whole thing. In the New Testament, it says that the moon universal flood also. I don't know why these preachers don't believe it. If that verse number 5, upon the world, of the ungodly. What does the world mean?
I mean, everything.
Any hands on that? What does the world mean?
The people.
The hands first. We have a cast.
Well, I mean, everybody.
All right?
Except the ones that were godly.
But not in the world. The flood came on the ungodly, the whole world, the people who lived in the world. And, but how many people were saved?
Eight people.
Who are they? Barbara?
Mr. and Mrs. Noah, his three sons and their wives.
What were the names of the three sons?
Ham, Shem, and Japheth.
Oh, easy. So there are eight people. Now, do you suppose that Noah invited some to come into the ark before the flood?
I'm sure.
He probably did, Miss Cass.
Yes, he
did. Probably so. Yeah, but did they come in? Why didn't they want to come in?
They chose not to.
It wasn't God's will.
But
they chose not to.
Well, but why did they choose not to?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because of unbelief. Because of unbelief.
What, Pastor Dan?
It's free will.
Free will, that's right. But why else? Why would anybody come into a shoebox ark? Anyhow, yes?
Because they didn't believe it was going to rain for much.
They didn't believe it was going to rain and flood the whole earth. That's why they didn't come in. And when it began, water spun the earth and under the earth, it just flooded the whole thing. Who closed Noah's ark's door? Yes?
God.
God, yeah, Tara.
God shut the door.
God shut the door. In other words, there's a time. Let's see who this is. All right. Okay, Jacob, go ahead. Go ahead, Jacob.
Yes, sir. This is Genesis 7:19-20. The waters prevailed exceedingly up on the earth, and all the high hills that run to the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered.
That's very good. Okay. That's the thing. So, if the whole mountains were, thank you, Jacob, I was waiting to Jacob again. Jacob in Texas, Jacob and Dale, his mother. If the whole mountains, 15 cubits above the mountains, were covered, is it possible to have a mountains covered and the other just no rain at all? See, this whole earth, it's a universal flow. Yes, go ahead, Barbara.
Across the mountains in the world, it's pretty universal that there's shells on top of the mountains.
Yes.
Shell fossils.
So that shows, it proves even from archaeology that this is a full flood. Flood on the world, and then God. Then in verse number 6, another illustration of God's judgment. Who were the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah? What were they like? Any hands on that? Yeah, but Crawford?
There were all those people who committed defilement and temptation.
Cass, what's the word? What sin did they commit?
Homosexuality,
absolutely. Barbara?
And Jeremiah tells us not only that, but it was they didn't take care of their widows and the poor, and they didn't practice mercy and justice.
Well, those are things that are also true. But basically, they had sodomites that are just prevalent all over the place. And if God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of homosexuals, what's he going to do if he did the same thing with Collingswood, which is gay-friendly, and the mayor married a couple of homosexuals as soon as it became a law? What do you think he should do to this city and the whole United States is homosexual-friendly? Bill?
There's a lady pastor at the First Presbyterian Church here in Collingswood.
Mm-hmm.
Who was the first person in this city to marry homosexuals. He married two lesbians.
Married two lesbians, that's it. And then I think the mayor married some, I don't know when he was.
Yeah.
Was that after her or before?
That was right after her.
Right after her. So he turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into what? Into what?
Farm.
What's the verse say? Verse 6. Turned them into what? Yes, Barbara?
Ashes.
Into ashes. What does ashes imply?
Fire.
Fire. Burn them right up. Burn them right up. Condemn them with an overthrow. What does overthrow mean? What is overthrow? Any hands on that? Yeah, Barbara?
Well, there's nothing absolutely left even today of the site of Sodom and Gomorrah.
So completely just completely destroyed. Now, what was the purpose in verse number 6? God's purpose, yes, faith.
I've seen pictures and read things where they say that tall pillar of salt there is Lot's wife. Have you seen that? Have you heard of that?
I've heard about that, yeah. Lot's wife.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You think it's still really?
Well, there's possible. We don't know. A lot of people say a lot of it. They say the shawl of the Lord Jesus, the shroud of church. A lot of that is fictitious, but who knows? I don't, could be, could not be. Yes, sir, Barbara.
He used them as an example.
He used them as an example. If the Sodom was an example, what was the example for? What is the example for? Just one hand. One problem?
Well,
yeah, Barbara.
Then pass to that. Well, like when Noah had this thing, it was like to cleanse it. To show mankind a kind of cleansing.
Right, Barbara?
It was an example to those who live ungodly.
Joey, got it, that's that?
It was just a pending judgment.
Pending judgment?
Look what happened to the people. Mm-hmm. Notice that we're going to have the Sodom and Gomorrah.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's still coming for other people because they continue to insist to reject.
So, all these things in chapter 2 are examples of what God did to judge those that were sinful. Starting the angels. And moving on from the angels, to the flood of Noah and then Sodom and Gomorrah. Three different questions. Yes, Barbara, go ahead.
Which goes back to the judgment of the false teachers.
Right. Hello?
How are you doing?
Is this Jim? Jim Canada?
Yeah.
Yeah, good, Jim, from Massachusetts. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I don't see if you see Jew now. They're good men in Israel. You know, they're everywhere. They're in Ireland, everywhere. That's great. Also, they're under, Obama and all. Most of the Democrats are over there. All that anti-Bible stuff, anyways. What I want to say is, Noah and his three sons, okay, when they repopulated the earth, okay, they went different directions, and there was there's probably four races kind of branched off, but there's no such thing as the LGBTQ race, so there's no discrimination against any race, okay?
Right.
The LGBTQ, they have to just get a race. All they are is a bunch of, the quiet anti-Christ sinners, stuff in your nose, and God dies everywhere. You can't hear yourself, you're not going to push out our children. So that's why I never vote for any Democrats, Hillary, any of those people, Obama. They're all for it. Obama had a whole state party in Washington, and I'm glad he's gone.
Right.
But it's not that he claims to be a Christian. I think he's from the devil. Myself, by his fruit, you shall know him. And,
right. Jim in Massachusetts, Jim Canada. Appreciate that. Now, he mentioned LBTG.
Q.
Okay, what does the Q stand for now? I think one was a T. The name was a T, also a T. What's the T stand for? Transgender. Now, they hadn't brought the T out until just recently. But what does the L stand for?
Lesbian.
What is LG? What is G? Gay. And B?
Bisexual.
And the T is a transgender. The T. He mentioned another one there. A Q. Yeah.
A lot of times I see people just use LGBT or LGBTQ or LGBTQAA.
A lot of different.
LGBTI. They use all sorts of
letters
at the end of their, at the end of those words.
Yes.
Four letters. So it's
which one is it? Yeah, which one is it? Absolutely. So this, yeah, Barbara?
If memory serves, there's something like 30 different choices you can make that you want to be represented by. I had to fill out a survey in my doctor's office recently, and the question was, and what gender do you wish to be identified with?
My, oh my.
Yeah, gender pronouns.
Yes.
Well, what is
the gender pronoun? Yes. Well, we talked about the homosexuals and these people from Sodom and Gomorrah. And as far as I'm concerned, Obama has a track record of being a homosexual. Had some homosexual relations with men. He's in gay bars, growing up with that. The whole trash. In fact, that woman that he married is not a woman, it's a man. Not the, what is her first name? What is her name?
Michelle,
but it's Michael. Very clearly Michael. And so that's why they broke up on her. She just wanted to be a vixen. So it's a horrible thing. And it's a shame and a sham that he's been pushing all the time in the 8 years he's president, pushing the homosexuals and being against anybody that's against the homosexuals. Sodom and Gomorrah got destroyed and overthrown.
Michelle is French for Michael.
French for Michael. All right, that's how they got the Michael. See? So, anyway, he spared out the whole world. Now, in verse number 7, what did God do in the flood, in the midst of the flood, at the time of the flood? Tammy?
Delivered Lot.
All right, delivered Lot. What does the word just mean? What is the word just, Tammy?
Righteous.
Righteous. Now, if you were to read the Old Testament and Genesis and all about Lot, would you consider him just or righteous? No, strange. But apparently, God saw his heart. If you're a Christian, they'd probably be a carnal Christian. If a Christian wasn't walking with the Lord. But delivered him. Just Lot. What was true about Lot's lifestyle in verse 7? What's true of his lifestyle? Barbara?
He was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked.
What does vexed mean in that sense? Barbara?
To tire with toil, to oppress with evil.
What? He was vexed. All around there were filthy matters of men and women and homosexuals, the whole thing. And what happened to, was Lot married?
Yeah.
Yes. Did Lot have any children?
Yeah.
What's his wife's name?
Mrs.
Lot. Mrs. Lot. Yeah.
Mrs. Lot.
Mrs. Lot, all right.
And,
did Lot's wife survive the judgment? Did she survive the judgment?
Yes.
Yeah. 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 Yes.
She made it out of Sodom, but she didn't make it up into Zoar.
So what judgment was passed by faith? Turned into a pillar of salt. And so
she looked back.
And yeah, she looked back. What did God tell them?
Don't
look back. When God tells you don't look back, don't look back. Just follow the will of the Lord. See?
That was just reminding me that I didn't raise my hand.
Well, that's okay.
I think there's a point there. When God tells you something, like a child doesn't know, and they do something anywhere, they don't know any better.
Mm-hmm.
But when you, well, if we willfully stand out, we have to be, if we know, to him to know what to do, and do it not, to him to descend. She knew, and God told them.
Yes.
She knew, and she deliberately looked back and went against what she knew
to be wrong.
Consciously to be right.
Now let's read 7, 8, and 9. I took up 7 before I read it. 7, 8, 9. And delivered just by vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with unlawful deeds. For the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. All right. We're going to pick this up, Lord willing, next Sunday. And verse 7, we'll start with verse 7, 8, and 9. But do you have any other comments on other things about these verses so far? Lots of verses, lots of happenings. What? If not, then let's close. If you have no other comments, let's close in a word of prayer. Our Father, we do thank you for thy word, telling us thy judgments are righteous, they're perfect, they're true, against ungodliness, whether of angels, or those that sinned in the days of Noah, or in the Sodom and Gomorrah of Lot and his time. We know thou art a righteous God. Thou canst not stand evil. So, Lord, deliver us who are genuine Christians. If we are genuine Christians, deliver us from the evil, and that we may not be vexed with the filthy conversation of the world around us. We pray, keep us faithful to thee. Bring us back on Thursday for Bible study and prayer service. Continue to help us to live for our Savior. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Thank you for coming.